everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today to talk to another one of our Hallmark authors. We love talking to writers, whether screenwriters or novelists. And today we have author Lee Duncan here to talk with us about her new book, A Simple Wedding. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. And Lee, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rachel. This is wonderful.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun. And so what we like to do with our guests is we like to give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become a writer in your case.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been writing ever since I was little. From the time I was old enough to print my letters, I knew that what I wanted to do when I grew up was be a writer, get published, write a novel. I did a lot of things in between that time and, got married, had children. Well, I was involved so much in their lives when they were young that there wasn't a whole lot of time for writing. But when I hit my 40s, I decided it was time to fish or cut bait. And I knew if I was ever going to write that novel and get published, I needed to get serious about it. So I started setting the alarm for 4 in the morning and writing for a couple of hours before it was time to get everybody up and out the door to school and work and whatever. And it took me 10 years before I sold my first book. I sold to Harlequin American Romance. I live in I live near Cocoa Beach in Florida. And so, of course, my first published book was about a newcomer to Florida. And in this case, she moved into a house in Cocoa Beach just as the hurricane evacuation warnings went up.
Oh, my gosh.
And this hunky cop knocked on her door. So that was an officer's girl, which has been re-released as Brett, part of a Hometown Heroes series. From there, I wrote 8 books for Harlequin and then I did some self-publishing. I had an agent. I did the whole try to get discovered route. And just about the time my agent and I decided we were going to part ways because it just wasn't working for her, I heard that Hallmark was opening a new line. And I thought, well, I love Hallmark movies. Maybe there's a chance for me there. And I sent a manuscript that I'd been working on off to Stacey Donovan, who was soon to be the director of Hallmark Publishing. And she didn't love that book because there was a little piece in it that didn't really fit the Hallmark brand. But she liked my writing. And she asked me if I would be interested in writing a book based on it. One of their most popular movies. Mm-hmm. And from there, we just took off.
That's an amazing story on lots of levels. I'm 39, so that's really inspiring to me that you started writing in your 40s and that you stuck to it and that you kind of had this whole second career in your life. Like, that's really cool. I admire that very much.
Yeah. Through all of my younger years and up until I started writing, I was always writing a little bit. You know, I'd write funny stories for my kids or turn chore lists into poems for them, things like that. Uh-huh. But I never really sat down and got serious about it until I was in my 40s.
So. That's great. Everybody should be super inspired by that because, you can do it. Anytime I was actually just talking to my mom because she's been pretty intensely been studying since she's been an empty nester, been studying art. And she, we were talking about it and I said, you know, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 78. So right. there's no, right. it's never too late
right.
to do it.
And someone told me not too long ago that, I think it was Mary Higgins Clark, uh-huh. didn't sell until she was 48.
Yeah.
Sold her first mystery then. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I really like that. So how did you end up doing romance novels? What, was that something you always liked to read, or was that just luck of the draw? How'd that happen?
I love romance.
Yeah.
It really is my heart. I've written some women's fiction, but I always come back to romance. And mm-hmm. I think that's just where my voice is, where my heart is. And I can't imagine writing a book that wouldn't have a happy ending.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So you've done the two novelizations for Hallmark, Country Wedding yes. and Journey Back to Christmas. Yes. And I was just wondering, what is that like, adapting a previously existing movie into a book versus, you know, your own ideas?
That was so much fun and a little bit intimidating at first. Mm. When Stacy asked me if I would turn Journey Back to Christmas into a novel, I thought, whoa, doesn't it work the other way? But I didn't tell her that. and I said, you know, I'll give it a try, because by then I was like, well, you know, my dreams have gotten me this far. I'm not going to quit, so I might as well learn how to do this one. And I figured it out as I went along. It was so much fun. And one of the things that editors had told me in the past was, oh, this can't happen, or this would never fly with our readers. And I didn't have to worry about that with Journey Back to Christmas.
Right.
Because everything already had happened. Time travel existed. Miracles happened. And the fans of that movie believed in those things. So my job was just to kind of show Hannah, the main character, her confusion and her desire to get back home. And to live a life that would be meaningful. And so it worked out really well.
Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
Hallmark chose that book to introduce their line of romances. It was uh-huh. their very first published book, and it was introduced on the Home and Family Show in October 2017.
Mm-hmm. Wow, they produced a lot since then. Pretty impressive.
They have.
I know, I can't keep up with them all. I used to try to read them all, but I can't. But yeah, Country Wedding, that's one of my favorite Hallmark movies.
I love that
it. Movie. So that's so cool that you gotta write that one.
I have a kind of a country background. I grew up helping out on my grandmother's farm in the summers. And so in the opening scene of that book, where Sarah rides across the field on this big horse and Bradley Sutton's is singing in the background, it hooked me right there. And I just said, oh yeah, I'll do this one. Yes.
So. I don't blame you. I love that, especially the whole scene in the movie when they're dancing. That scene is it might be my favorite scene in all of Hallmark ever. Oh. It's so good. I love it.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. Yeah.
So when you're doing your own ideas, would you consider yourself a pantser or a plotter?
Oh, I'm a plotter.
A plotter. Yeah.
So you have pretty planned out. I'm a plotter.
Yeah.
So I have to have an outline from the very beginning, and my friends who are writers, they tease me all the time about it, because I practically write the book in that outline. And so I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen from the very beginning to the very end, there are always surprises, always surprises.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to know where I'm going with the story, and then I just write towards that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You're coming up with your characters. Do you kind of go off people that you know, or just people that maybe celebrities, or just how do you kind of come up with the characters for your stories?
You know, they come from all different sources. Every once in a while, I'll say, oh, you know, I want to write a character based on my sister, because she's a live wire, I guess you would call it. She's always into things and always stirring up the pot and getting people involved in different projects. And I would think, oh, I'm going to write that person. But it never comes out exactly like her. It always, always an an amalgamation of different people and imagination, imagination.
Can she tell that she's sort of the inspiration in the characters, or?
By the time I get the book finished, it's somebody completely different.
That's probably for the best. You'd be like, what? Yeah. I mean, my sister is a published author. She's done picture books, but she has she has a novel coming, and it's very exciting. And I told her, I said, I don't want to be one of those people that's all unsupportive. I'm like, if you need to write me into one of your books, I officially give you my permission.
That's wonderful.
I can handle it. I can deal with it. So we'll see about this novel. I don't think she did, but we'll see.
Right.
But that's really cool.
I think the closest I ever came was in a book called Butterfly Kisses. Uh-huh. And there's a little girl in the story that is based on my niece who needed a kidney transplant when she was 19. And my husband was her donor.
No way.
So, and in that story, Butterfly Kisses, I created this little 5-year-old girl who just finds out that she's in kidney failure, and what the mom is going through in trying to arrange for the best care for her daughter. And that's as close as I've ever come to actually writing a character that's based on a real person.
Yeah. That sounds well. If you ever need to write about a podcaster, you're welcome to write about me. I give you permission.
Thank you. I just might do that.
Yes, my dream come true. Very good. So the first thing I wanted to ask about A Simple Wedding coming out tomorrow when we air this podcast, and so it's part of the Heart's Landing series. So my question is, did they come to you with, we want you to write the first in the series, or did you come to them and say, I want to do the series, or how was the chicken and the egg for as far as this?
Well, we were looking for a project. I would have been very happy to do more novelizations, but Stacy thought it would be a great idea for me to spread my wings a little bit and come up with an idea that for an original book. And, so I pitched several ideas to her, and for one reason or another, they weren't really on the money. And then she said, you know, what about, let's do something about June weddings. And from there, all of the pieces just sort of fell into place. They came up with the idea of a destination wedding town where everything in the town is geared towards producing weddings and helping brides have a perfect wedding. So there's a florist shop that only does floral arrangements for weddings. There's a cake shop called I Do Cakes, and a shoe store called the Glass Slipper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So in the future, are you going to write all of these, or are they going to be different authors, or are they going to be about different characters in the town?
I would love to write as many Hearts Landing stories as I possibly can. That would be my goal.
Yeah.
But of course, if the series really takes off and the fans demand it, then I won't be able to keep up as right. one person, and they will have to open it up to other authors. And that would be fine with me.
So, yeah. Well, I'm really excited, because that is one thing that we've often said on the podcast that we'd like Hallmark to kind of embrace about romantic fiction in their movies. Because the Hallmark sequels don't tend to turn out very well, because they've already got the couple together and they have a hard time figuring out, well, what are we going to do next? And right. so they end up bringing in all this conflict that just doesn't work, and it's very difficult. So if they structured, instead of the series, instead of it doing a sequel, but doing more sort of the way that they do romance novels, where, like you're saying, you have a town and you see like a cameo of the first person, and then you get to know about person B in the next movie, and then and so they just kind of all build together. And I think that could be really fun. I mean, they've gotten close to doing it for Christmas in Evergreen, but the spin-offs of Christmas in Evergreen aren't about somebody that you knew in the previous film. They're about right. somebody new coming in. So it's not quite the same, but it's close. And the same thing with the Wedding March movies. It's kind of the same thing. But I think it would be fun if they kind of embraced that style, or that type of serial that you get in romance novels. So you could get to know a whole town in a series of movies. I think that would be really cool.
I think that's that goal with Hearts Landing.
Yeah.
The first book revolves around a baker, the owner of I Do Cakes.
Yeah.
And a young woman who comes into the town posing as a bride-to-be when she's really planning the wedding for her boss, who's a big movie star.
Yes.
And so she doesn't want the paparazzi to tumble onto the fact that this big movie star is getting married there in Hearts Landing. And so she's going around town pretending that it's her wedding that she's planning, but then her boss keeps changing her mind. So this bride-to-be looks a little wishy-washy and is driving everybody crazy.
Yes.
But in the next book in the series, in this book, we get to meet Jason Hart, who is the owner of the Captain's Cottage, one of the premier wedding venues. And in the next book, it's Jason's story. And so
we get like a little cameo from Nick?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, I'm so excited. I really am legitimately very excited about that. That sounds great. And that's the a cottage wedding then.
That's coming. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so excited. I was telling you off air that I went into this book with a little bit of hesitation, because I'm actually not a big fan of the wedding movies. On Hallmark, every once in a while, there's one I like, but I cannot stand bridezillas in movies. It's not for me. I think it's just because, you know, I'm 39, I'm single, and I just can't tolerate people, you know, that if you're lucky enough to have found somebody who wants to marry you, who cares what color the ribbons are or what the, you know, you're so lucky to me that you've had that blessing. I don't want to hear it. And it's just, it's really hard. I don't like it. I don't like those characters. So I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, I've got to, you know, hopefully, cause I'm always trying to be honest and try to be real, on the podcast, but you know, I wanted to like it. I'm going to be interviewing you hopefully. So I, you know, sat down and I'm like, oh, the thing that you did so well is that she's not a bridezilla because yeah. She's just doing it for someone else.
Right.
She's basically like an overworked employee for all kinds of purposes. And so it made it way more palatable to me than just like some shrieky woman that you see sometimes in these type of romantic comedies. And I cannot tolerate that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Jenny's, she's doing a favor for her cousin.
Yes.
And boss.
Right. And basically like Kay, her name is Kay in the story. So Kay, yes. She's like your, I guess Renee Zellweger just won her second Oscar. So she's like a Renee Zellweger, a Kate Blanchett, a Meryl Streep kind of, two Oscars. So she's very famous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Top of her game.
Yeah. And she's been dating this guy for like a while and they get engaged, but they have only so much time in between shoots. And so she says, oh, we got to get married in 6 weeks. Right. I believe.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so she kind of co-opts Jenny's dream. Jenny's always wanted to get married in Heart's Landing.
Right.
And so she figures, oh, well, great. Now I can't get married in Heart's Landing because everybody will think I'm this fake person. So I can't get married there. And so she's sort of resentful of that. Basically, like they tell the whole point of the book, you know, is a simple wedding. That's what Kay tells her. But then she keeps changing and changing and changing and changing and changing.
I know. Yeah. I had so much fun changing that wedding.
How one thing that was so impressive to me about this book is that, so there's a big lie throughout this book. And sometimes that can be tricky in rom-coms. I mean, some of the best ever written, like, I mean, I love Christmas in Connecticut, for instance, are based on a big lie. But it can make a character unlikable real quick if they're lying to everybody. So how did you manage that kind of, how did you manage to keep Jenny likable even though she's lying to everybody?
Well, I was fortunate enough that I could show the readers what she was really thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped a lot because she was in a terrible predicament and she wanted to make everybody happy. And she really fell in love with the people there in Heart's Landing. And I hope that the readers will get a sense of her struggle and how much she really did not like the position that she was being put in, having to lie to everyone. And I think if we can show a character's honesty like that, then people are more accepting of them.
Yeah. Well, also, you make it very clear her motivations, because it's not just, she's not just doing her job, but she feels a sense of loyalty to Kay and her aunt, because it was them that helped her when her parents died in a horrible, was it a train accident?
Or train accident.
Yeah, train accident. Mm-hmm. And so she feels this loyalty to them. And so that's why she lets herself get kind of pushed around as much as she does.
Right, right. She feels like she owes something to her aunt for all of the years that her aunt took her in and stuff. And there's this lovely scene towards the end of the book where Jenny and her aunt have a heart-to-heart talk.
Yeah,
that I won't go into the details of that, but every time I read that scene, I cry. So, yeah.
Yeah, were you kind of tempted to be like, okay, she's got to tell Nick here. She's right. Got to tell him, like, this is just too, like, but you got to keep it through. You got to keep going.
Right.
Yeah. That was really good. And so, Nick, how did you come up with his character? Did you have somebody kind of in mind that you were thinking of?
No, I just really wanted the kind of guy next door feel for him, and somebody who loved what he was doing and had, you know, was really living out his dream. And not really looking for Mrs. Wright at the time, yeah. You know, and here comes this woman just stumbles into his life, literally stumbles into his life. And what is he going to do about that? How is he going to deal with that, especially when he realizes that his feelings for her are changing and she is engaged to someone else.
Yeah. That was so good because it really created a lot of tension for the character. And then the fact that the townspeople and other people were like, you have to fix this. She's being so horrible. And so he kept having to be forced to be involved with her, even though he's like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. It was really good.
Every time he would go, I need to stay away from this woman as far as I can be. Somebody would say, no, you need to be right next to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts of, like, if they were going to make a movie about this book, who you would want to cast as Jenny and Nick?
Oh, no. There are so really many. Wonderful Hallmark actors. I couldn't pick anyone in particular. So.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I feel like I would almost want to go with somebody a little bit younger than maybe some of the Hall stars are for both of them. I don't know. I just got the feeling that, especially for Jenny, I got the feeling, I don't know if it said her age anywhere, but I just got the feeling she was a little bit inexperienced. And so I would think somebody a little bit younger, I think would be a good fit. But yeah, I liked Nick. He was very hunky. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at Care Of, and they've been a wonderful sponsor for us. And what they do is they really try hard to personalize your vitamin plan to you and give you a really unique experience that's going to be the most effective and help you to achieve your health goals. Right now, we're all trying to be at our most healthiest state. We've got a new year. We've got all these crazy things going on in the world. And so we all need the help we can get. And what you can do, what's so great about Care Of, is you can go onto their website, takecareof.com, and take their quiz, which really helps you to personalize your vitamin plan, go through and find out the things that you're lacking, that you need, what your lifestyle needs, if you how active you are. All those different things are all figured out in the quiz. And like for me, I definitely was able to narrow down that I needed the most help with my sleep. And so we were able to craft the vitamin routine around hopefully making that as effective as possible. And they send you the vitamins in these easy to use packets that have your name, that have an inspirational quote. And they're great because you can just take a couple of them, put them in luggage, put it in your purse. You've got it ready to go. Very helpful, very handy, there's a great attention to detail, which I appreciate a lot in a product. And I've definitely found them to be so just easy to use. And I think it does definitely help with my sleeping abilities. And then they also have great care into the quality of their products. They have the utmost to date science and research that goes into everything that they sell. They also have yummy protein powders that are made of real ingredients you can recognize, like organic cocoa and pink Himalayan sea salt. So it's a really great product and a great company that takes attention to detail, really cares about you getting something that will help you lead your healthiest life. So definitely check it out. That's for 50% off your first Care of order. Go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50. Did you like vicariously eat lots of cupcakes when you were writing this?
I think I gained 10 pounds while I was every time I turned around, they were eating another cupcake. Yeah. Well, I baked a lot of cupcakes.
I mean, I was frankly kind of shocked when the recipe was for lemon bars, because I'm like, what is that? Because like the whole thing had been the dailies, you know, he saved the special cupcake every day.
Right.
So I was expecting it to be a cupcake.
I thought it would be as well. I thought it would be a cupcake as well, but they had just done cupcakes for Journey Back to Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they wanted something a little different. And so there's a scene in Simple Wedding where Nick brings Jenny a lemon cupcake. And she's like, I'm not sure that I'm going to enjoy this because lemon's not my flavor. Uh-huh. And she just loves it. So I think they made a really good compromise by putting those lemon bars as the recipe in the book.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought the same thing. And I mean, I think that you also did a good job of kind of like working with Kay as a character, because she's sort of ditzy. She's just really, really busy. And so she doesn't think about her actions kind of, and how they, how they hurt other people, but she's not selfish.
She's not deliberately
mean. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That must've been kind of challenging to do that character.
it was, but you know, I had written in, a country wedding. I had a similar setup where there was a big name person who was kind of pushing people around a little bit. And I wanted to make sure, I learned in that book that I really needed to make her human and accessible and regretful of some of her choices.
Yeah.
And so I brought that same kind of thing to Kay so that we could see her grow as a character by the end of the book.
So did you base Heart's Landing off of the anywhere near you? Said you're in Florida. Was it kind of based off of a town near you?
No. It's more like Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
Yeah. The captain's cottage is this mansion, you know, in this, it's a cottage in the sense that the Newport mansions are cottages. Mm-hmm. So, I had spent some time there when we were first married, my husband and I just celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And when we first were married, he went to officers' candidate school there in Newport. So we were there for almost a year. And I got to tour a lot of those mansions. And that was a small town back then. The tennis court area was right downtown and very accessible and very small, and all the little quaint shops. So I took that feeling that I had there in Newport and tried to build Heart's Landing around it.
That's really cool. That's good. So have you planned weddings before? Did you kind of know, I guess, like you said, you'd written the country wedding, but have you had to do that for anybody? So you kind of knew, okay, here's the main pieces. My daughter's wedding is about
the only one that I planned. And while we were planning that, we went to we dropped in on about a dozen weddings. Nice. And she and I would sit beside each other, and we would watch what was happening, and she'd go, oh, I like that. Oh, we need to do that. And every once in a while, she'd turn to me and she'd go, and we are not doing that. I think one time there was a groom who wore tennis shoes. Instead of, you know, he under his tux, he wore tennis shoes. And on the bottoms of his tennis shoes, he had written some remark. And when they kneeled down to pray, we could all see what he had written on his tennis shoes.
Oh, like, she goes,
no,
for me.
We're not doing that.
That's funny. You're like, we better not go to any more of these weddings because we're going to get too many ideas.
Right.
You know, it's that's probably, weddings are probably like the biggest example of the paradox of choice. The more choices you have, the less happy that you usually are.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody just offers you chicken or fish, mm-hmm. there you go. You pick one, you're done. You're happy.
Right.
And whereas if there's the giant Cheesecake Factory menu and you have to pick all these things, then you're less happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. You always wonder, you know, what have I left on the table?
Yeah. And then you see what other people get. And we think that more choices make us happy, but that's usually not the case, which is interesting.
Right. But I am a big fan of Say Yes to the Dress.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. I was pretty into that for a little while. And then I don't know, I got off of it and then I haven't watched it in a while, but yeah, I mean, some of those dresses, holy cow.
I know. I can't
what
imagine.
On earth.
I know. I just can't imagine. So.
What? Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine either spending, I mean, if it's your truth. If that's what you choose to do, that's, you know, fine with me. But for me personally, I can't imagine spending that much money on a dress. I mean, or could I don't have the means. The only wedding that I've really, probably two weddings that I had more of an intense process behind, I mean, was my best friend from high school. It was definitely the most lavish wedding I've ever been a part of. And I was a bridesmaid for her wedding. And at the time, at least, I had never had a whole lot of like Indian food. This was way back in 2000.
Uh-huh.
And so she had Indian food at her wedding. And we were all just so impressed by that. We're like, wow, this is really fancy. And and we were starving. We were really, really hungry. So it was that's the thing I remember the most is the Indian.
Yeah, because you get so caught up in the events of the day.
Yeah.
And it's hard to make time for water and food.
Right.
And
yeah. It's very true. And then my sister's wedding was a lot of work, but you know, we were obviously happy to do it because, you know, it was what she wanted and her special day. But yeah, we had that at our house.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And it was really pretty. And my mom made her dress.
So
that was fun.
How
that was
sweet.
Yeah. It was really pretty. And then she plays the violin. So we had a quartet or whatever playing music. And so that was nice. And so, yeah, it really, I think, showed them quite well. Those were probably the two weddings. It was really, really hot the day they got married. That was the only, like, we didn't even take as many photos as we should have because we were just like, roasting outside. It was so hot. So that was the only downside there. But anyway, yeah, it's an intense experience. There's no doubt about that.
The point in Hart's Landing, they want the whole town is geared toward providing the perfect wedding for every bride.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire town will do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's true. it's kind of assembly line, but still very sweet and thoughtful. Okay, so I want to ask Lee a little bit about the ending. Some people might consider this spoilers. I don't think it is, but if you do, you can turn off now, go read the book, and then come back. Okay. So, that's my little warning. But the thing that a lot of times does not work out for me in Lyra reveal stories is the whole outraged reaction that you have that's mm-hmm. often in these kind of books. And it's always so cringeworthy to me that, oh, how could you lie to me about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just, usually that just does not work. Right. And what I loved about the ending of this book is the minute he finds out that she is available, that she's not this person, the minute, he doesn't waste a second feeling sorry for himself or how could you lie to me or anything. He goes right, he gets those roses, he's like, this will be a really funny story that we can tell our grandkids. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly the right answer.
Loves her.
Yeah, he loves her. And like, obviously she wasn't lying about everything. She wasn't, you probably want to have some conversations after, be like, okay, well, what exactly was going on? But he knew her as a person. And I just thought that was so good. Very well done.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I just had the opportunity to read through the book again. I got an arc of it, and I wanted to, you know, read through it myself. And it had been a while since I'd written that book. And I got to that point and I went, oh, what's Nick going to do?
Yes, it was so good.
And I went, oh, yes.
You just thought that's what that character is going to do in that moment.
Yeah.
He's not going to feel bitter or that he was lied to or anything like that. You just knew he was ready.
Right. This is my chance. I'm not going to blow it.
Yeah.
So
this is really good. Cause that almost never happens. And so it was so refreshing to me because I was just like, yeah, that's what you would actually, if that happened in real life, like that's what you would do. You would just be like, oh my gosh, she's available.
Right. Yes.
And so it was such a good moment because the whole town is there.
I love that scene where they're all there working together, where he's rallied the whole town to come to her aid. Uh-huh.
Because he started to kind of wonder and put the pieces kind of together a little bit.
Right.
So I think that it's not like a 100% surprise in a way to him, mm-hmm. but he obviously still can't do anything to somebody that he thinks is engaged.
Right. And he's very, very upright and very moral. And there's a line he has determined he is not going to cross.
Yeah. Well, and that was the only thing that kind of annoyed me about Jenny, because she's all like, well, he didn't try to kiss me. And I'm like, of course he didn't. What is wrong with you? That should be a good thing. You know, he's got like honor and.
Right.
And so she was being silly there, but it worked really good for the narrative. And then of course the epilogue you have that, they actually don't get married the next day, which I thought was really good. That was brilliant.
I love that Nick wanted to make sure that her family was involved.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone that he had in his life was there, but he wanted to make sure she brought in her family as well. And I liked that too. Yeah.
So. Well, and if they'd gotten married using the stuff, all the choices for Kay, then it wouldn't have been her wedding.
Right.
It would have just been, so it wouldn't have been as good.
Right.
So, you know, she should have her own choices and things she likes.
Yes.
And that was, It was really good. I was very impressed. And started reading it on Saturday night, and I stayed up until like 2 a.m. because I'm just like, oh, what's going to happen? And so you caused me to lose sleep, a very precious commodity for me. But that ending, I was just like, yes. I think I even sent you an email right after I finished. I was like,
you did. Oh,
this was such a dishy book. I really tried.
I'm so glad that you like it. And I hope everyone else does as much. Yeah.
I think that they will. It's a really, just the connection between Nick and Jenny is very palatable and very strong. And I really enjoyed that. And I just thought that, like I said, certain things that usually are kind of like, ugh, you didn't go down the typical tropes. And I was like, yes.
I try to throw in a few twists.
Yeah, it was really good. So, very way to go. I'm excited to read A Cottage Wedding now that I've read A Simple Wedding.
Oh, good.
It's gonna be good. When do you think that one is that gonna come out this year?
Yes, it'll be out in June. June.
Oh my gosh, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, June 2nd, and fingers crossed for a third book in the series. Mm,
yes, please, people, we need more.
Yes. So.
That's good. Yeah, I think if I was going to make, I don't know, I'd almost want to, if I was going to make it into a Hallmark movie, maybe she's too young, but I'd almost want somebody like Bailey Madison.
Ooh.
Somebody young, somebody really sweet.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, right? She would be so good.
Yeah.
And I don't know who you'd get to play Nick, but somebody charming.
Yes. Somebody
out there. It'd be good. So, because I don't know the younger actors as well, that well, but yeah, I really enjoyed reading it. I thought it, and I had been in kind of a reading rut where I was just, I don't know. I was just kept falling asleep when I was reading, and nothing had excited me for a little while. So it was fun. So thank you for getting me out of my rut.
Well, I've accomplished one thing. Yay. Yes. Woo-hoo.
Well, for all of our listeners, if you read the book, please let us know what you think of it in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts and all the different things we've talked about. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And so, Lee, do you have social media or anything you'd like to share?
I am on social media. You can join me on my Facebook page at Lee Duncan Books. And let's see, I'm on Instagram, and I don't do much with Twitter. So, and you can always email me at LEIGH@leeduncan.com.
Great. And we'll have all of that in the description section so people can follow you for sure. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out. And you can follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out a lot. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that as well. And thanks so much, Lee. This was really fun to talk with you about your book. Congratulations. And we'll have to have you back on. We can talk about June weddings and a cottage wedding as well.
That'd be great. Thanks so much for having me here today. This has been so much fun.
Yeah. It was a delight. So thank you so much. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everybody.
Bye.